The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Coming up on this episode, we are going to talk to Derek Futterman. He has been writing some features for the site recently, and he will make his debut on the Media Noise Podcast, talking about the future of sports media. And we haven't talked sales in a while with our buddy Jeff Caves, so he will swing by. It's interesting the number of articles he has written lately that all sort of go to the same thing, which is sports radio sellers tend to come into this job not realizing how much specialization and training they need to keep pursuing even after they have the job. That is all coming up, but first, let's talk about Jenny Taft versus Skip Bayless. It happened Wednesday on an episode of FS1's Undisputed. Skip Bayless has the take that because Mike McCarthy is fat, he can't possibly be a good coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I will point out that Skip Bayless said this was not a fact. This was a personal preference. Either way, Jenny Taft was not having it.
Is everyone who's a good coach as fit as you, Skip? I don't think that's a fair shot whatsoever.
I said it was a personal preference. I wouldn't want him to be my head coach.
That have not had the perfect ideal physique, including my college coach. So I don't think that's a fair shot.
Okay.
And I'm allowed to have an opinion, Skip. I am allowed to say whatever I want to say on this show,
Bruce
Broussard will join us, and he will react to Westbrook's comment, and maybe I have more to say.
Yes.
So predictably, a lot of people in the media come out, support Jenny Taft, and say that it's great to see Skip put in his place, et cetera, et cetera. Look, Skip Bayless is hired to do a particular thing. The Mike McCarthy is too fat, so he must be an idiot. That is the particular thing, right? Jenny Taft was following the model of the show and having some debate. If Skip Bayless looks bad at all here, it is not for the just terrible, stupid take about too fat cannot be a football coach. I'd like to introduce him to both Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick at various points in their successful careers. Boy, the misstep for Skip Bayless here is he looks crazy misogynistic in his reaction to Jenny Taft, because if this is Shannon Sharp saying, hey, that is a bad take, you do not hear Skip Bayless saying, no, whenever the moderator says we're a team, let's bring it back together. Skip Bayless is clearly such a little man in this moment and clearly gives such little regard to whoever the moderator is, regardless whether or not it is a woman or a man. But in this case, Jenny Taft being a woman, I think it is safe to assume that that goes in a little bit to Skip's absolute disdain for being called out here. Boy, it's just a bad look all around. Is Skip Bayless going to get fired for this? If he didn't get fired for saying the stuff he did about Dak Prescott last year, the answer is absolutely not. But just last month, we saw his old cohort, Stephen A. Smith, granted, under public pressure, but still, we saw him go on the very next day on First Take and say, look, these things I said about the Nigerian basketball team and this thing I said about Shohei Ohtani, kind of racist. I'm sorry, there's no place for that on my show. I don't have faith we're going to see Skip Bayless ever do that. Maybe that is the result of Undisputed having to play so much catch up to First Take that Fox is willing to let a little bit more slide and let Skip say and be a little bit more outrageous. But boy, it's not so much about what Skip said. It is 100% the reaction to being called out by Jenny Taft that makes him look awful as a professional here. So for the last couple of months, Derek Futterman has been providing us great Q&As and features for the site. And I thought it was about time he made his debut on the Media Noise Podcast. So, Derek, thanks for sitting down with me today.
Pleasure to be here.
So let me talk to you about your latest piece. You talked to five broadcasters, all with New York roots, not unlike yourself, about the present and future of sports radio. And you asked a question that, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. You talked to Zach Gelb, you talked to John Yastrzemski, John Rothstein, Robin Lundberg, and Zach, and wait, I said Zach Gelb, who, oh, and Alan Hahn. All right. So I've been thinking a lot lately about how do we in 2021 measure real impact with the audience. I think we're at this place now in radio where everybody looks at Nielsen numbers and understands, okay, there is a formula and that is a number that you want to be leading in, but it doesn't tell the true story anymore. So what was the range of reactions when you asked this question?
I liked Zach Gelb's answer a lot. He mentioned the Polk scale, which is passion, opinion, knowledge, and entertainment. It goes beyond, you know, the numerical rating system from what we're seeing all across the board right now, radio-wise. And really, you're just judging yourself as a host. If you have the passion, you can give a solid opinion that captivates an audience and keeps them listening. You have the knowledge to talk about the sport. John Jastrzemski, in my article, I remember a distinct quote of his was, "Watch the damn game, simple as that." And a lot of sportscasters try to, you know, wing it on the air. And you can, after a while listening, you can tell who the professionals who are putting in the work are and who aren't. And then obviously sports radio is not just a place for information, but also a place for entertainment. So those four things, I think, that Zach said in his answer, that Polk scale, really encompass what everyone who I spoke to for that article said. And really, yes, numbers are important. Revenue is important, sure. But at the same time, you do want to be putting out a quality on-air product with it. And the Polk scale is one way you can measure that.
So I think you and I talked the other day and I learned that you are literally half my age. So I'm going to ask you if we approach things differently a little bit, given, you know, the generation we both came up in radio. The Polk scale really goes to this. I sometimes like to look at what sort of reaction you're generating in a comment section to see just how passionate the audience is about something. That being said, I don't put a lot of stock in how many phone calls does this generator or whatever. Anything numerical, do you find these younger broadcasters kind of throw that out the window and it is more about, you know, am I getting a reaction that tells me I have done a good job rather than, you know, I did the right things to make the math formula work?
Numbers are everywhere. I mean, if you we always talk about radio having to shift to a more digital age, and a big part of that digital age is social media. When you see impressions, likes, comments, the numbers, yeah, I mean, it's easiest probably like, oh, the more comments, the better, the more likes, the better. But you have to also look at it as, all right, maybe I'm just getting likes because, you know, I said something that happened to generate a lot of impressions.
Right.
Let's say an opinion on like the New York Giants, for example, and there's a lot of Giants fans who happen to follow your page. Sure, they're going to like the post, but it doesn't mean it's, you know, a passionate, knowledgeable, entertaining, and, you know, just a real opinionated thing. So you have to kind of look at it that way.
So in 2021, I think every broadcaster knows that a digital play, some sort of digital presence has to come along with being on air. You ask these guys what they saw as the opportunity for future growth in the industry. And I frankly was surprised that so many of them still said something regarding the digital world. And there wasn't this huge, overwhelming response that, it must absolutely be in the sports gambling realm, because that seems to be what everyone in the business is thinking right now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Sports betting, sports gambling, it's all over the place. I mean, when I'm watching games on television, just as a fan, you see it almost on every commercial break or on the radio, you hear it being advertised constantly. I mean, but I think sports betting has found a way to penetrate a bunch of different platforms, whether it be, you know, on television, radio, even print. So I think, you know, as radio continues to shift the idea of not just being constricted to what is AM and FM dials, I think sports betting is really has guided the way in sort of a sense, or at least forced radio or these companies who are putting out audio to adapt. Because, you know, when the product that you're trying to get advertised for you in sports betting is, you know, looking at a certain place as their target, which is the digital space, you ultimately want them to be a client. So you're going to have to make the adjustment. And I think radio, especially over the pandemic, has done a very good job making that adjustment and is continuing to do so, to the point that, you know, radio is not just, again, AM or FM. You can now hear it on demand, on a podcast, on your phone, satellite. There are so many ways to access the radio medium. So I think really then, you know, traditional radio, kind of the term radio really is constrictive in and of itself. It's more like audio.
It's been a while since we've had a visit from our buddy Jeff Caves, our sales expert at the shop. Jeff, always good talking to you, man. How are you?
Hey, man, you need a salesman. You got to have a salesman in on the ground floor opportunities at Parrot, right?
Absolutely. And look, you have been writing a lot lately that has really opened my eyes. And look, I used to work for a group that had a general sales manager that would go out and just meet people. And if he met a bartender that he thought was really good at holding down a conversation, he would say, hey, come take our personality test, see if you can be a salesman. And there are drawbacks and good things that come along with that. But what really struck me is, in reading some of your stuff recently, how much the personality, yeah, it can take you far, but boy, there are a lot of gaps that you have to be filling in constantly when it comes to knowledge about this job.
Oh, yeah, because it's expanded so much, Dimitri, and the evolution of where this business has gone. And it's not enough to just sell spot. And it's not enough to really rely on the assets of the terrestrially broadcasted radio frequency. There's a lot more to it now. And as that has continued to expand, in some cases, I think the support group for the sales staff has grown. In other instances, it hasn't. I bet in markets 75 through 150, they'd tell you they're inundated with just new things to learn from their own software adaptions in the companies that own them.
Yeah, I mean, and that is one of those things that really struck me about the piece you just put out regarding sales budgeting is I wonder how many of these folks that actually are pretty good salespeople don't realize how much is being left on the table or how much of a disadvantage they are putting themselves at by not understanding the inner workings of the expectations of the people above them.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And some of them, and I've been in this position as well. You know, you're comfortably numb. You don't care about what you don't know.
Yep.
Sometimes you know enough. And so you're happy with enough. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a management's idea of enough is never. It's always wanting more. And that's not for everybody. And I think that's one case why you need larger sales staffs at times, because there's different growth patterns that AEs will go through. But understanding where corporate's coming from when it comes down to the budgeting process, with what they're facing right now with this Delta variant on COVID, and how they're even looking at 15, 18 month budgets or quarterly budgets, daily pacing, weekly pacing. And you get that question. All right, I need to know. It's a Monday morning. I need to know what you have on the books and what you're going to write up by the end of the week. And people just start lying their ass off.
You and I did a, I think, inadvertent, but very nice sort of tag team thing last week where I talked to some hosts about, you know, do you like going out on sales calls? Do you feel like salespeople are utilizing you enough? Things like that. And you wrote about the idea of that it shouldn't just stop with, hey, maybe clients are fans of your people. You dove in on the idea that maybe if you look at your listener database, there are P1s, dedicated listeners that are business owners and would love to give you money and would love to do business, hear their name said on your radio station. Is that common sense in the sales world, or is that something you think enough people don't think about?
Well, I couldn't tell you that. There's so many different types of salespeople, but I would imagine that there are tons of listener email databases that aren't being used for sales. And I'm not saying they have to be used monthly, weekly, or daily. I'm saying quarterly. You should be using that to just come up with a creative way to say, hey, you or somebody you know, or are you an influencer? Are you the top salesperson at your company? And if you go into the station, or excuse me, the store owner and say, look, the station I listen to all the time, our competitors are all over it, or these guys are all over it, or my cousin knows this other guy, they do great business. And these dudes can do ads for you, man. You ought to blah, 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 blah. That's how things are done right there. That's it. You need somebody to help you get into the door. And it's not always just us figuring out what and how. It's sometimes who can help you.
Thanks to both Jeff and Derek for joining me today. Find them both on Twitter at Jeff Caves and at Derek Futterman, respectively. And always check out their stuff at the website as well. If you go to the very corner and click the BSM Writers, you can see everyone's archive. Super easy right there on the site. As for what we are paying attention to next week, I think the easy answer at the end of every show is sports books and gambling content. So let's say that's what it is for next week. Talk to you then, everybody.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, and check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.